anointing. I know that the word is going to come forth that God has prepared for us. And I'm gonna give you just a simple scripture it's my favorite, but then there's so many that's my favorite. But I know that it's one that we as people of God know and is very familiar. And that's Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." If God has an expected end for you, and he's labeled some things in your life, he's got, we all want to think of physical things that we can touch, car, house, a mate. But the idea is that God said that I have left something behind for you, and that's the Holy Spirit, and that's the Holy Ghost. And if you have the Holy Ghost, you have an expected end in Christ. That means that you are buried with Christ and that you're going to live again with Christ. So as I go into this prayer this morning, I pray for my online screamers this morning, Brother Sam, Sister Pearl, Sister Marquita, Sister Taffney that's not here with us today, and all those others that I will meet and greet in the chat later. But I thank God for you and the ministry that God has given. Dear Heavenly Father, it's in the mighty name of Jesus that I come before you, Lord God, this morning. God, thanking you for the position that you placed us in this morning, Lord God, in your word, Lord God. God, you said that if we asked of you things, Lord God, that you would give, Lord God. If we seek of you, Lord God, you can be found. So this morning I ask, Lord God, that you would bless this service, Lord God, that you would bless this ministry, Lord God, that you would bless your churches that are open this morning, Lord God, in a whole, Lord God, that you would bless and the word will go forth, Lord God, and we know that it cannot come back void. God, we ask that you would just bless each and every person here. God, we ask you to bless the man that's going to stand and deliver your word, Lord God. God, we ask you, Lord God, even as we prepare for the now, Lord God, we're asking, Lord God, that as we leave this place, Lord God, that you would guide our footsteps, Lord God, to deliver the word that we have received, Lord God. God, it does us no good, Lord God, that we're the only person in the building that know we're saved. God, I ask that you would give us a boldness, Lord God, to go forth, Lord God, with the word that we received today. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that I ask all these prayers. And as April comes and she's going to give us an exhortation for the Lord, I said, let the church say amen. And you know, if the church says amen, that it says that it is so. And that decrees and declares what God has said in our life. So let the church say amen.
Bless you, Sister Tracy, on this morning. We just want to welcome those that are watching us for the first time this morning on live. And I was told about a story my sister had reminded us when we was a little girl. And she was telling us that we were having problems with transportation, getting back and forth to church. And back when my dad was a pastor of the church, it took us 45 minutes to get to church. So one Sunday, Dad had an old pickup truck, and he put a mattress in the back of the bed of the truck, and we had to ride in our church clothes all the way from Strongsville, Ohio to Cleveland, Ohio to get to church. And I just want to tell you, those that are watching this morning, that your road that you're going to the next level in God may be bumpy, but trust the rider, trust the driver of that vehicle. And that driver of the car is Jesus. As we trust our dad in driving us and making us safe to church, trust God and where he's taking you. Amen? Amen. I just want to give a few words of exhortation on this morning. And in your spare time, go to the book of Genesis chapter 50. And what I want to say on this morning is, and you don't have to show your hands because I'll raise my hand first. We all have experienced feeling like we have been treated unfair. Amen. Amen. Whether you have an unfair boss on your job, someone lies on you and your reputation is damaged, or a person that you thought was your best friend, they betray you, or even in a bad relationship or a marriage. So it says, I have said, or some of you have said, that all you all have agreed on experiencing some of those painful things in your life, how do you handle it? Do you go into depression? Do you withdraw from people? Or do you find a way to get even? I've had those thoughts. Or have you ever vowed never to be nice to anybody again because you were so hurt by the person before you that had done you wrong? Amen? Amen. And you got to remember, if you think about that, you have to remember that what's in you is more important than what happens to you. Everything in life is not fair. Some things that we see, where we see people that have committed crimes, we want them to find guilty. Things may not happen that way. We may have our favorite politician, but there may be somebody that go along the way that may not be right and they may win. Life is not fair. So things in your life that has happened, you may not have the power to change it. Amen? Continue to reliving things that hurt you, things that disappoint you. If you keep reliving that, you're going to stay in a life of misery. And God doesn't want us to live in that. And when I told you to go to the book of Genesis chapter 50, there's a well-known story about the story of Joseph. And Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. He did nothing wrong by telling a dream. And if his brothers did not betray him, he couldn't get to where God had him to go. He couldn't get to Potiphar's house. He couldn't get before Pharaoh's house. But the things that he had went through took him to where God was elevating him to do. And at the end, when his brothers had to come through Egypt, and Joseph had recognized who they are, and he was the one that was going to have to redeem Egypt and redeem them, he said in his word, he said, what you meant for evil, God has turned it around for your good, amen? And you have to look at your situations, what you went through. What did you learn in that experience that God taught you? What is a job where you was being mistreated and you didn't like it, and God was getting you out of that comfortable state because God was getting ready to take you to where you was getting ready to go? Amen? Amen, amen. We have to remind ourselves that everything that we go through in life, everything in life is not going to be sunshine. We're going to experience some things that are not pleasant. There's going to be some things that are not comfortable. But in that being uncomfortable, remember, there is good, and God is producing character in you. God is taking those things that are not like you out of you to produce and take you where you need to go. Amen? Amen. And right now, I'm just asking if there's anyone right now that wants to have a word of praise, a word of thanks, anything that you have for God, to give God to do on this morning, you may do that at this time. And if I have to share, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to have our pastor, Bishop Don Hurst, come right now. Amen and amen. Receive him by saying amen.
God bless you. Come on, let's put our hands together and bless God this morning. Just clap your hands wherever you are. Hallelujah. Permit the very limbs of your body to be vessels of praise this morning. I'm so happy to see everyone. Come on, let's just smile. Let's put some sunshine in this rainy day. Amen. With our smiles. And I thank God for you. Thank God for this morning. This is the day that the Lord made. We're rejoicing right now and we're glad. I'm excited. Amen. To be here today. Thank God for this Sunday, September the 19th. That's right. And we are already ready for the fall season. Can you believe that the sweltering and sultry summer is almost behind us? And now you can get out all of your coats and your thermals and all of that and get ready for winter time, and then after that comes the spring, and then everything just starts all over again. I bless God today for all of you that are joining us here live. We'll get a little bit more lights on the stage, and that will probably help the presence here and the presentation. Amen. That'll help things. God bless you. Welcome everyone this morning in the spirit of Christ that are joining us here, that join us here each Sunday across this globe, across this nation, and the entire earth. You're so faithful. We thank you for joining us here on Sunday mornings. We're continuing to get in countries and continents, and what's so important about that is that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, is taking the wings of the morning and it's being spread. The echoes of your praise in this room is a blessing to somebody. Amen. Somewhere. But specifically this morning, we're praying for Brother Chris Johnson, Lackland, Florida. We're expressing our condolences for the loss of his aunt in Miami, Miss Emma Mazak, I believe that I'm pronouncing that right. We're praying for you, Chris, and Fakita and Lackland. They were here with us a couple of Sundays ago. As we just invite people, if you're ever in this area, stop in, and they stopped in on us. But we're praying for you and asking God to restore strength unto you as you've had to go to say farewell to your aunt. We're also praying for Faith Tucker in Fayetteville, North Carolina. That's our family there. Want her to be encouraged this morning. We just wanted your name to be called. Amen. And for you to know that you are blessed. And the many others that have sent in our prayer request, I didn't get any specific list this morning, but we want everyone to know wherever you are, family in Cleveland, our family in Atlanta, Sister Teresa, we're praying for you and everyone. And those of you that join us here each week, I did see some as I was on my way in, and I saw the list of names. I see that you're joining us here on Sunday for this live experience Sunday service, and I want you to feel welcome. Thank you so much for registering online and joining in with us. And we here in this assembly, just one more time, let's just clap our hands because we are here. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. Y'all help me sing a minute. Trouble don't last always. Oh, I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. Oh, I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Listen. I'm so glad that trouble don't last always. Oh, I'm so glad. That's right. That trouble don't last always. Oh, I'm glad that trouble don't last always. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Listen, this joy that I have, oh, the world didn't give it to me. Yes, this joy, you know the world didn't. Oh, this joy that I, oh, the world didn't give it to me. Listen, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. This love that I have, listen, the world didn't give it to me. Oh, this love. Yes, the world didn't. Oh, this love. Oh, the world didn't. You know the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Just by the note of a song, our musicians got caught up, and without declaration, I'm no songstress, so without music, I just feel like I'm just out there like a ship without a sail. I just be floating around, man. Hallelujah, but that's all right. Bless God, because I rejoice him with the breath that I have, and that's what the redeemed of the Lord should do. I want to welcome this morning all of you, Nation Harvest. Thank you so much for being faithful. I want to give this as an announcement so that you'll be prepared next Sunday. And this is my request for you to be present and to tell everybody else to be present. But we're going to have next Sunday, this was supposed to be this week, and must this happen? Since that last birthday I have to put it on something. Y'all ever forget that you were supposed to remember something? y'all ever forget that you were supposed to be, I remember something, but I forget that I didn't forget anything. I just forgot that I was supposed to remember it. So I'm remembering now that I'm remembering that I forgot to remember some things. Y'all feel what I'm saying? So I was supposed to have this already this morning, and I wanted it to be so ready this morning. But next Sunday, I need the presence of everyone so that I can spend some special time with you and some close time with you with some social distancing, but yet close. Amen. Breakfast with Bishop on next Sunday morning. That's going to be brand new, but I need breakfast with Bishop next Sunday morning. I want to have it right here. It's right here. And that's going to be at 10:15 a.m. So that's about an hour earlier than you would regularly be here. And I want to see all of you here. Our men's fellowship was kind of cut into a couple of Sundays ago because we had to reschedule it. And our brothers were going to serve every Wednesday. Yeah, and we were ready. But we had to just listen. It's not off. It's just postponed. So, and you know, we're getting over into the fall season, which is chilly. But we're gonna get our steaks, aren't we, men? Before the summer is over, we owe you all that, okay? But next Sunday, I want to have breakfast with you because I just want to have that time that we spend where we are exercising our social distance, but we're not going to sacrifice our fellowship. Amen. And we're going to do it safely, so we're going to be here. And you know we have enough here in our facility to exercise that. But it's important that we still have our sense of closeness in times like this. Amen. Amen. We've got to figure out a way to get this thing done. We've got to figure out a way that we can maintain our fellowship. We don't want to sacrifice that. And at the same time, we distance ourselves and keep ourselves safe. Amen. So next Sunday, be here 10:15 a.m., and I'm so delighted to be able to for you to come here and be with me, and we're going to have our breakfast time, whatever we do, our crumpets and tea, and whatever we do on Sunday morning. We're going to start that at 10:15. I'm looking forward to spend some time with you on next Sunday morning. So jot that down, let everyone else know. This is not a Sunday I need you to miss now. I need you to be here. So hopefully you didn't have any future plans so that you can be here next Sunday at 10:15. If you forget, reach out to me and I'll remind you. Amen. Amen. So that was actually supposed to be this Sunday, but again I say that I forgot to remember. So but nevertheless we'll look forward to seeing y'all next Sunday. So what we're going to do now as we're making ready to move forward to the interior of this worship experience to get a word from God. I hope that your heart's prepared. Amen. And people, let me tell you, when everything else fades away, when everything that we have, everything that we have worked for, everything that we have longed for, everything that God has blessed us with, when it's faded away, when time has taken its toll on it, the word of God is going to be still standing. It's going to be as powerful and as strong as it has been, as it is, and as it will be. So above all things in your getting, get a word and get it with understanding. Amen. And that's what we're going to move into as we move into the interior of this worship, is we're moving into the word of God with the word of understanding. Amen. Amen. And today it is certainly my great pleasure. As you know, I can do this for a long time. When I start bringing my sons and daughters in ministry, God blessed me to have a long line of sons and daughters in ministry. And this one, I do believe that I've introduced to our audience before, and also our in-person church. But in case I didn't, I'm going to give you this opportunity now to meet him. And there's no other person better than to introduce this my son than his lovely wife, and she is Sister Danita White. And as leading lady, Danita White, come. She's going to introduce her husband, and her husband, which is my son in ministry, is going to bring the word of God. clap your hands as we receive them this morning.
It is a privilege to introduce your speaker for this morning. Pastor Willigenson White is pastor of Shady Grove Missionary Baptist Church by way of Dublin, Georgia. Wonderful, talented, extremely knowledgeable man of God. And I just say it because he's my husband. I know y'all know that because he's no stranger to any of you. We've been here several times. But awesome teacher, husband, my best friend, wonderful father to our children, grandfather, and we're so grateful to have him in our lives. So I present to you Pastor White, again, my husband and my best friend. Let's receive him with a hand clap.
Church, say amen.
Amen.
Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Oh, you can do better than that. Come on, you don't need a musician or an organ. Amen. You don't need drums. Come on. Can you lift your voice this morning? Come on, let's stand to your feet. Come on, let's just give God some praise. Come on, listen. We're in the midst of a pandemic. Anytime you can come into the house of God, amen, and set your feet in this place, come on, you ought to be able to tell God thank you. Come on, has he done anything for you on this week that you know that if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you wouldn't have made it? Come on, they counted you out, but God counted you back in. And this is a good time and a good place to tell God, thank you for being better to me than I've been to myself. Come on, can we just give him about 30 more seconds of praise and tell God, thank you in this place. It may be raining on the outside, but the S-O-N is shining on the inside. Matter of fact, he's not shining in the church, but he ought to be shining in your heart. Come on, give him praise as you go to your seat. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Thank God for you. Amen. Thank God for my lovely, beautiful wife, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. I'm on the clock already. Won't hold you long. To my pastor and bishop, none other than Pastor Don Hirth. Amen. Y'all give him a hand. Amen. Amen. We were in the office talking, and I'm not gonna preach long, so I give you all my little stuff on the front end. So when I get through, I won't have anything else to say. And he asked me. He said, "What is it? Anything that you need?" And it's raining real good. I said, "Well, let me pull around and get the grandkids out." And it just shocked him. Amen. That his 17-year-old spiritual son had grandkids. Amen. Notice I said 17, right? Okay, so yeah, he still hadn't let me grown up from 17. Amen. But God, we do thank him to my father. Amen. Amen. Elder Nick White Sr. Y'all give him a hand. Amen. Have a brother in the audience, my eldest brother, Fred White. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, that's the greatest big brother you could ever have. Amen.
Right.
And I want to just say thank him for all that he has done for me and my brothers. Amen. He set a great precedence for us growing up, and I didn't quite understand when I was younger, but I do appreciate him and thank him. Amen. All right, well, listen, thank God for all of you. We're going to preach. Amen. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Had a daughter get married on yesterday. Amen.
Congratulations.
I have to count. Third. Amen. Third daughter got married on yesterday. And she's a police officer here in the city of Decatur. All right. So she got married on yesterday. And first one. So I got four girls and wrote one off. I got three more to go. All right.
All right.
So got to get them married. I got to get them married. All right. Listen. Acts chapter 16. Quick word here. A lot to say, short time to say it. I'm on the clock. Now in school, they teach us not to read a whole lot of scripture, so I'm well aware, but I want to read quite a few, so you'll get the context of what Acts chapter 16 is saying. All right, so that's the only reason I'm going to forego the rule of not reading a whole lot of verses so I can read in context. For your pleasure, you don't have to stand. I'm going to read quick. Acts chapter 16, beginning at verse 16. When you get there, just signify by saying, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
All right, Acts chapter 16, verse 16 says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent them of their clothes, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe. I like verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Verse 25 says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, singing praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I like that. Verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's hands were loosed. Verse 27, and the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, do not self no harm, for we are all here. Then he cried for called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. I like verse 30, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Real quickly, I want to talk to you about how to deal with the unexpected.
All right.
How to deal. You missed the text. How to deal. You thought I was going to talk about how to get out of jail. No, how to deal with
the unexpected.
Here it is. As believers, there's something about our life, our walk in the life that we must remind ourselves that life will not always be easy.
All right.
Even though the Lord told us that we have many trials and tribulations in this world, it is extremely easy for us to forget that life sometimes presents things that we're not ready for.
Yes.
Life is going to be full of surprises that are not going to turn out in the way that we hoped they would. We may choose a particular college or a particular job only to find out that this is not what we expected. It is not what I signed up for. You told me I was going to be a cook. You didn't tell me I had to clean. You told me I could get a degree, but you didn't tell me it included some stuff that I really don't do well. I don't type fast. I don't read papers well. And so sometimes, even though we set out to do certain things, we'll discover in the midst of whatever those things are, that it's not what we expected. Here it is. Maybe you've decided to get married, and maybe you're married, and don't raise your hand, don't blink your eye, nobody know, but you've discovered maybe the person that I'm even married to might be the wrong one. Oh my, I know that's hard, but that's just life. Here it is. We may choose to buy a house in a particular neighborhood. We may buy a car and discover for whatever reason it's not where I really want to live, and it's not the car that I really want to drive. I'm trying to help you here. Here it is. But we must understand, listen, that if we say that we are Christians, if we say that we're saved, if we say that we are bought with the blood of Christ, if we are purchased with the bruising of the body of Christ, we have made a commitment to follow God even when things don't
don't go where. Listen, can I just put a pin right there and preach to you and tell you, though, even though we're in the midst of a pandemic and people are dying everywhere, you are still saved. You are still bought with a Christ. And even though we didn't expect this December 2019 on the 31st day, we had our plans all rolled out. We knew what we was going to do for New Year's. We had already gotten our vacation ready for 2020. We had lost weight. We had our swimsuit ready. Me and the girls were going to go on the beach and we was going to turn up. We were going to get our hair braided alike. We was going to buy the same swimsuit. We had everything planned out in 2020. But all of a sudden, this thing called COVID-19, I'm preaching better than you're saying amen, shows up, and God has a way of interrupting our plans even when we plan it out to our best ability. Is there anybody here that understands that even when God interrupts your plans, you've got to learn how to deal with interruptions? Here it is. I believe that the reason that we as Christians in America have a problem with dealing with interruptions is because we have such an Americanized perspective of what Christianity is. It says to us that we're supposed to get saved, and then we're supposed to grow. We're supposed to speak in tongues, and we're supposed to be able to claim it and grab it and get it. Yeah, all of those things are good, but let me suggest to you that sometimes trouble knows how to find you. It doesn't matter how long you are saved. It doesn't how many degrees you have. It doesn't matter how much money you put in the church. It doesn't matter how big your Bible is. It doesn't matter if you know how to speak Greek or Hebrew. Trouble knows how to find you. Is there anybody here say, yeah, Pastor, I can agree. I've had some trouble. I've had some dark days, but I've learned how to handle the unexpected. Here it is in the text. Notice the text. I got to cross the field. Paul and Silas have arrived in the city of Lystra, and Paul is excited because here it is. He's heard about a young man by the name of Timothy, and he's excited to meet this young brother by the name of Timothy. He's excited. He's there in Lystra, and so he wants to meet Timothy. But not only is he excited about meeting Timothy, but he's excited about the opportunity to preach in this city because he heard about a young church that was growing. It was thriving. So he shows up with his protege, Silas, to preach to the city of Lystra. And then all of a sudden, while Paul is beginning to preach, while Paul is beginning to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the unexpected happens. The text says that they begin to sing and pray, and then all of a sudden there comes a damsel that has a spirit of divination. Here it is. Notice in the text, don't read over it. This young girl, whatever Paul and Silas would go, she would show up and echo to the people who they were. Oh my, if I had time to preach to you right there, I would tell you that people know who you are not by what you say. They know you by what you do. Yeah, the text says that whenever they would show up, she would say to the people, these are the men of God that have come to teach you the things of God. And so there was a few days that Paul allowed her to get away with showing up and messing with his sermon. But there came a time where the text says that Paul got upset because this damsel kept showing up. Here it is. Can I just stop right here and parenthetically tell you that the first thing, that if we're going to learn how to handle the unexpected, we've got to come to a place where we understand the providence of God. I know that seems like a real big word, a real big concept, but if I may, I didn't come to shout you. I just came to teach you. Here it is. You've got to understand that there's two perspectives to the providence of God. Here it is. The providence of God simply says, from a general perspective, that all things move and operate by God. Oh my, you don't know when to shout. I feel like shouting. Listen, you got to know that God stands in yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Oh my, you still don't know when to shout. That means that he sees all of history at all times. You know, we wake up and we have to think about what we're going to do today. But can I tell you that God already knows your tomorrow? He knows your today, and he even knows your yesterday. Oh my, is there anybody here that can shout because the God I serve, though it may be new to me, it's not new to him, Pastor Hurt. Though I've never seen it, he's already saw it. And if he's already saw it, I don't have a reason to fret. I don't have a reason to worry, because God's providence said that he's absolutely sovereign and in control of all things. The providence of God says he's in control. But can I help you real quick? You know, there's a scientist by the name of Darwin, and Darwin came up with the black box theory. It ain't in my notes, it's just in my spirit. And Darwin says that the creator universe is not an absolute God. The blind watchmaker theory says that he took the world and he created it and stepped outside of it, and he has no dealings with it. He doesn't touch it. He doesn't mess with it. It's almost like a watchmaker that takes a watch, and once he's finished with it, all he does is wind it up and let it do what it does. But can I tell you, that's not the God we serve. Oh my, that's not the God we serve. Because the providence of God says not only is he in control, the providence of God says not only did he create it, but the providence of God says that he can step in at any time and interrupt anything. Have you ever been watching your favorite TV show and you had your popcorn and you got your drink, and then all of a sudden a person comes on TV and says, we've got to interrupt your normal scheduled broadcast for this special bulletin? That's what God does. He knows how to step in and to interrupt your broadcast. He knows how to mess with your check. He knows how to mess with your car. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. That's the providence of God. Here it is. I gotta go. I feel good here. Watch this. Notice now. Here it is. Miracle says, watch this. Can I help you? Miracle says it's the providence of God. It ain't in my notes. I just want to help you. Please don't try to live on miracles, because miracles are only one-time events. That's never reproduced or duplicated. See, that's a new church phenomenon where people say, I need a miracle. No, you really don't need a miracle. What you need is to use what you got right. Okay, that's something else. That's a whole nother sermon. That's a whole nother sermon. I ain't even going to mess with that. I know that's something else, Pastor. I ain't going to mess with that. But everybody want a miracle. Now you just got to take what you got and use it the right way. And that's the miracle in itself. So here it is. The providence of God says God knows how to intervene. He knows how to interrupt our scheduled program. And so this Sunday morning, the question then is how do we respond to God's special providence in our life? How do we respond when God interrupts? How should we respond when life doesn't give us what we expect?
All right.
Here it is. Quickly, we must respond by faith. Whenever our plans are interrupted by God's providence, we must respond with faithfulness. Faithfulness is about, watch this, it is about being just as intentional with your plans. You ought to be as well intentional with God's providence.
Yes.
Oh my, okay, let me see if I can bring it down. That says to us, yes, we make plans. But even when you make your plan, you ought to be just as excited about God's interruption. Because God's interruption is his way of getting you where you need to be. Okay, I gotta go. Here it is. Notice, if we will, the context of Paul's life. He's made it to the city of Lystra. He's made it to Lystra. He's followed by a girl that has a demon spirit. And Paul is tired. He's upset because she keeps showing up messing with his sermon. I gotta rush here. I promise I had a whole lot. I gotta go. He's tired because she keeps messing with his sermon. And the Bible says that he turns and rebukes the spirit out of her.
All right.
And as a result of rebuking the spirit out of her, the text says that her owners realized that he could not make any more money. And so he takes Paul and Silas to the magistrate, to the authorities, to the judge, if you will, and as a result, the text says, watch this, that they rent them of their clothes and beat them and said to the jailer to take Paul and Silas and watch this, to put them in the safest part of the prison. It is clear that the beatings and the imprisonment were unjust, and it is suggested that it was anti-Semitism. In other words, they didn't like the fact that Paul and Silas were Jews.
Right.
They had They wanted to humiliate them as well as to keep them from preaching the gospel.
All right.
And so again, as I rush to a close, two things I need to tell you real quick. That was your setup. But here it is. The question again, I need you to think about this. I got about 15 minutes. I need you to really give it some real consideration is, how do I deal with the unexpected? Listen, there come times when your money does not work. There comes times, even the people that you know, you know people in high places, you know people that has prestige, you know people that has money, but sometimes there comes a time in life where there's just some things just can't get you out of trouble. First thing I need to tell you, according to the text, is that your solution to your problem is in your praise.
All
right. I got to do this real quick. Here it is. When life goes sideways, what do I do? You give God praise.
All right.
The Bible says that Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God at midnight. Midnight, watch this, is a reference in the text to the darkest, the lowest point of your life.
Yeah.
And maybe you've never experienced midnight, but can I tell you that at some point, all of us will experience midnight. However, all of us will experience midnight at a different time and in a different way, but we're all going to experience midnight. We have to learn how to prepare for midnight. Here it is. We must learn how to praise God. Watch this. When things are going well, so that we can know how to praise Him at midnight. See, it's easy to praise God when things are going well. It's easy to tell God thank you. It's easy to give Him a half-hearted wave when things are going well. It's easy to come to church with a smile on your face when you got money in the bank and your cars are running fine. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. It's easy to praise God when your kids are not in jail. It's easy to praise God when things are going well. But how do I praise God when the unexpected come? How do I praise God at midnight? How do I praise God when I'm sick in my body and I seem as if I can't get well? How do I praise God when they tell me that somebody in my family has died? How do I praise God even when I'm so sick that I can't wave my hand? You've got to learn how to praise God when things are going well, because it's hard to praise God when things are going bad. I gotta go. Here it is. What does it mean to praise God? Here it is. Real quick, I don't have time to give you a whole definition, but it simply says it is an expression of gratitude or respect toward a deity. This way down in my notes, but can I go ahead and give it to you now? Here it is. Listen, a person can bring you to church, but they can't teach you how to praise God. They can't wave your hand for you. They can't stomp your foot. They can't speak for you. You've got to learn how to praise God for yourself when you still ain't caught on, I see. But can I tell you that your praise to God is conducive to how He's blessed you? Now watch this. If He ain't never done anything for you, if He ain't never brought you out, if He ain't never seen you through nothing, then you just sit there and be quiet and act like God ain't never done nothing for you. But if you know that God has made a way out of no way, if God has brought you out, you ought to just stand to your feet. You don't have to touch nobody, but you ought not be so proud that you can't stand to your feet and tell God, thank you for being better to me than I've been to myself. Thank you for bringing me out. Thank you for keeping me. Not only did you keep me, but you kept my kids. And so you've got to learn how to praise God, because your solution to your problem is in your praise. Secondly, here it is. We must develop the depth of our praise. Got to go. Here it is. We are responsible for learning how to give God praise. See, giving God praise is not simply about being a Christian. See, many of us think that because we are saved, we are exempt from giving God praise. Yes, we come to church, but we don't come to worship. But here it is. The development of the depth of your praise comes from participation. And I know, listen, I've heard it all before. I've been preaching since I was 15, and I've pastored in two cities, and I've always heard people say that it don't take all that. But can I suggest to you that it takes everything that you have, all that you are, to really give God praise? Because, listen, you got to understand that when you give God the best of your praise, it is then that God opens up the windows of heaven and pours down blessings that you don't have room to receive. Listen, this is a season that your best praise, your last praise, ought to be your best praise.
Yeah, yeah, yes, yeah.
When is the last time that you have given God praise? When is the last time that you have given God praise, not here in the church, but in your car? When is the last time that you have given God praise? Not when you just show up and the organ starts to play. Not when you show up and the praise leader starts to sing. But can I suggest to you that every day you wake up, you ought to tell God thank you. You ought to give God some praise. Last thing I need to tell you, here it is that the paradox of your praise is your breakthrough.
All right.
I got to go. Thank you, Bishop Hurt. The paradox of your praise is your breakthrough. Well, you say, Reverend, you just said we in a pandemic. Thousands of people are dying. I don't know whether to stay at home or to come to church. Somebody say get the shot. Somebody say don't take the shot. So why should I praise God? It seems to me that this really ain't a time to be talking about praising God. But can I suggest to you that a paradox simply says, hey, a seemingly absurd or self-contradictive statement or preposition that when investigated or explained may prove to be well-founded or true. Come here for a second. Listen, notice the Bible says that Paul and Silas were beaten, put inside a jail, so much so that the judge told the security guard, if you will, to make sure that they don't escape. But the Bible says at midnight that Paul and Silas begin to make a joyful noise,
yes,
unto the Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Bishop Hurt. Here it is. The best time that you can praise God is the worst time. Yeah, whenever things seem to look their worst, that's when you ought to learn how to lift up your voice and tell God, thank you for being good to me. Is there anybody in here this Sunday morning that knows that even when midnight shows up, I've got to learn how to praise God. I've got to learn how to give him thanks. The Bible said that they began to sing and pray at midnight. And I like the text because the text says that there was an earthquake. And the earthquake simply suggests that God knows how to show up. Yes, whenever God shows up, he knows how to make a grand entrance. Yes, yes, yes. The Bible says that at midnight they begin to sing and pray. But what I like about the text is it was the first time that some of the other prisoners heard anybody praise God. Yes. That's a reason to praise him. Yes, you've got to learn how to praise him. Not only for yourself, but you ought to learn how to praise him for somebody else. Yes, yes, I got to leave you here. But is there anybody in here that ain't too mean that can stand on your feet and say, I praise him? Not only for me, but I'm going to praise him for you as well. Yes, praise him. Has he been good? Has he kept you? Yes, he brought you through singing and unseen dangers. Praise him. Praise him. Yes, praise him. In the morning, praise him. In the evening, praise him. In the midnight hour, praise him. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, praise him. Come on, praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, if he ain't done nothing for you, go ahead and take a seat. But if he brought you out, you ought to praise him. Tell him, thank you for being good. Thank you for being kind. Yes, my last praise is my best praise. People dying everywhere, but I made up in my mind, I'm going to praise him. If I have to praise him by myself, I'll praise him. If I have to praise him all alone, yes, 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 yes.
Stepped into my unexpected times to give me an expected end. Oh, glory, hallelujah. At an unexpected time to give me an expected end. God's plan for us is all wrapped up in his providence. I want somebody to say right now, God has a plan for my life. And that is his providence. Somebody say, that is his providence. Amazingly so, as I listened to Pastor White and he declared the word of God to us, showing us through two devout men, Paul and Silas. All they wanted to do was what they were called to do. But just because you called, it doesn't mean that everything's going to go your way. Can I get a witness this morning? Just because you're saved, it doesn't mean that everything's going to go your way. Stop advertising being saved. Make things easy. Stop projecting that being a child of God means that you're not going to encounter circumstances and situations that are unfavorable. But declare this, and this is a truth, that in some of the most uncomfortable, unpredictable times that God steps in with his divine providence. And what's intended to tear me down, what's intended to take me out, what was intended to utterly destroy me, I'm from an old school where castor oil made absolutely no sense at all. Castor oil, you got to be at least 50 to know what I'm talking about. Castor oil never made sense. Why did they make it? What purpose did it serve? And why does my loving mother want to give me this? If my stomach's hurting, if my head is hurting, if I sneeze, if I cough, she wants to give me some castor oil. But it's amazing how in times like that, God in the same way comes in with something that just doesn't seem to make sense, and it works. Hallelujah. Somebody say, and I mean that literally, it works. Now look at somebody and say, it works. And I'm not talking about castor oil. I'm talking about the providence of God. It makes everything that's wrong start to get right. Man, you done preached me happy in this house this morning. You preached me happy here. What ought to make me sad, now I find myself smiling, and then I'm, is anybody feeling guilty because you happy and you just too happy, and people think that you ought to be acting sad right now, and you feel, you're having to bait some of your happiness and your joy down because everybody else is sad. Well, let me tell you, stop doing that and just go ahead and just let the joy do it. Just go ahead and let the joy. Just let the joy of the Lord. Just go ahead and just let it out. Pastor White, you have certainly blessed us in this house this morning. How to deal with the unexpected. Just a Sunday ago, this house heard how God exceeds our expectations. And I know you ain't heard that. But folks, I need y'all to know God trying to tell y'all something. Sing God trying to tell you something. Sing God trying to tell you something. Y'all done got two sermons. One, when God exceeds your expectation, and then how to deal with the unexpected. Something must be on its way. Somebody sing God trying to tell you something. Somebody sing God trying to tell you something. It's one thing when you say it one time, but when he starts repeating himself. Somebody say when God starts repeating himself. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's good. God bless you. I want so kindly as you prepare another mic for me. Prepare another mic for me because I want as well, before we leave here today, I want Pastor White's brother to come, and I want him to do a special prayer for us today. I don't want you to come to the altar, but I do want everyone that has the ability to stand, to prepare to stand to your feet, and we're going to do something that we learned from this lesson this morning. We're going to stand in the gap for some people. Somebody wanted to be here and they really couldn't be here. And it's not because of sickness, but sometimes Satan has people held up. Satan has, just like he had our eyes blinded and had us fooled, and he has somebody that really want to be here and they don't know how to get, they don't know how to break through, they don't know how to get through the smoke screen, they don't know how to get through the blockade. So what we're going to do is we're going to stand in the gap this morning through prayer for somebody, for whatever reason, couldn't make it this morning. Somebody had it in their mind to get here, but for whatever reason, you just didn't make it. Someone's not here because they're hospitalized. Somebody's sick. someone couldn't get here because they are miles away, but they really want to be here. But we're going to be like Paul and Silas. We're going to stand in the gap in prayer right now. And if you don't have anybody else that you can stand to represent in prayer this morning, stand for me. Say a prayer for me, because I'm always standing in the need of prayer. And if you'll make that mic available now to Minister Craig, Pastor White's brother, he's right here. If you'll make that mic available for him that we've prepared and sanitized, he has it. And he's going to come, so I want, as he come, you to stand to your feet. And he's just going to take us in prayer. Minister Craig, come now. Speak to my heart. Give me your holy word. If I can't hear from you, then I know what to do. I won't go alone. Never go on my own. Just let your soul be
afraid. Oh God, our Father, we come this morning to say thank you. We recognize that you are certainly a sovereign God, that you have all power, both heaven and earth, in your hands. Master, we know that you made everything there is, and we're thankful to you
for that. Master, we become also confessing our sins.
Yes.
We have certainly fallen short in some way or another. We've thought wrong. We've looked wrong. We've acted in some way we should not have done. Master, and as the Bible reads, it said, purge our dross with hyssop. It said, wash us white as snow. And then we come thanking you today for your many, many blessings, Master. Even in the deepest, darkest of times, you have helped us. You have held us. You have loved us, Master. We are thankful for all you have done.
Yeah.
In the midst of literal and figurative storms, you have held us, Master. And for that, we are thankful today. And Master, at the request of the angel of this house, Master, we're coming, standing, Master, asking you to help folk, Master. We don't know what folk need. We don't know where folk are. We don't know what folk are suffering. We don't know what folk are enduring. We don't know what folk are going through, but we certainly know that you know, because you said not a sparrow falls beneath your notice.
Yeah.
Master, therefore, every man, woman, boy, or girl that suffers, certainly you know what they need.
Yeah.
And more importantly, you can do something about it.
Yeah.
That's why we're standing collectively today, asking you, Lord, to help this world we are part of. We're asking you, Lord, to help this state that we live in. Master, we're asking you to ask, Master, to help this city we are part of. So, Lord, we're asking you to bless this church here today. Master, everyone that breathes on this earth, I know you know what they need. Certainly, COVID-19 has no power over you, because you went out on the cross, you suffered and you died. You got all power in your hands. Healed in the hem of your garment. And one of these days, I don't know where, I don't know when, I don't know how, you're going to crack the sky and all of our problems are going to be over. Lord, in your matchless, marvelous, extraordinary name, amen, 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 amen.
And it is so. And it is so.
and declare with your mouth, somebody got a breakthrough. Declare with your mouth, somebody is healed. Declare with your mouth, somebody is made whole. Now say it is so. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
My sister. My brother is healed right now. Hallelujah, right now. A son and a daughter right now. A brother and a sister right now. An aunt and an uncle right now. Thank you, Minister Brandon. God bless you for your prayer, man. I thank God for your prayer. I don't want to prolong, but God works in threes. And I guess right here it just seems like order for us to have heard from the youngest son and then the older brother, but that's only two of them. Give me a fresh sanitizer. And God operates in threes. So how will we hear from the fruit of this tree without hearing from the tree itself? So at this time, I want the dad to the younger son and the oldest son. The Reverend Nick White, to come up here and tell us good morning. Come on and give him an applause.
Thank you. I ain't running too good today, but I'm running by the new grace and the new mercy.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say, I know the Lord will make the way.
Oh, yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
Yeah.
I know the Lord will make the way. Yes, he will. Oh, yeah. Oh, you may not have a friend. Oh, he'll go with you. Oh, to the end. Listen. I know the Lord. Oh, make a way. Oh, yes, he will. Listen. I have a Savior. I can carry my troubles too. Oh, oh, yeah. When I'm dead on and I don't know. Find a secret cry. Oh, because I can leave my burdens there. I know the Lord. Yeah. Are you with? Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. I know the Lord. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Have you ever tried it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Oh, yeah.
himself strong in this house today. God has shown himself strong in this house today, and we have truly been blessed. I call for the son and the whole family showed up and coming here and blessed this house and this great audience, you who are joining us. I pray you're still with us. And we look forward to seeing you here again with us next Sunday. We're asking God to give traveling grace to Pastor White. Congratulations, father-in-law. Yeah, father-in-law. Now, take it from me, be a good father-in-law. Yeah, don't say much. I don't have any son-in-laws in here. I'm a good father now. I don't say much. You can just look at me and know what time it is. I'm the greatest father-in-law they can have. They'll tell me in a minute, most of my sons-in-laws call me pops. They say, you don't say much. Good. I'm glad you know that, you realize that, you recognize that. Because when my baby ain't what you want no more, you just bring her right back here and everything. But I know that it's going to be strong and it's going to be, and couldn't have happened to someone better than, this was Blair, right? Brooke. And she is a police officer in the city of Decatur, Alabama. Amen. So we're praying, my God, that the Lord cover her with his blood as she serves us. When we make a mess of stuff and then don't want to respect the law enforcement, but then when we get in trouble, we want to call them.
Yeah.
Amen. So I respect people that serve. I say people that serve, not wear a uniform, but people who serve. Amen. Congratulating you, and to see now the grandchildren, and the oldest is 4 years old. Man, you're blessed.
Yes.
And to leading lady Danita, God bless you, woman of God. We love you so much. You are the epitome of a leading lady, and I would say you're number one. However, you got to be number two. You'll take that one, because the leadingest lady, of course, is the one who bears my last name, the love of my life, leading lady Cassandra, and then you're right there next. Amen. And I thank God for you. Hallelujah. Let's get ready to give, and before we leave, we want to encourage everyone that's joining us on the air to continue to support us in your giving. We very seldom say this, but because time have permitted us to say it today, I don't mind letting you know that we appreciate your love offerings. You know, you can text to give. Simply put in Tracy 256 291-0091. When you put that in the text box as a number, just put an amount and send it, and it'll just lead you through secure, encrypted, and certainly it's there for you to do it, or you can do it online. So many avenues for you to do it. But I still have people. My cousin in Cleveland, he believe in the old stamp and envelope, and he gonna put it in that stamp and in that envelope and seal it up real good, and he gonna get it here. And then he gonna call and make sure that you get the mail. That's how we do it. We call and follow it up, make sure that, you know. And some things, I guess, just feel good, isn't it? Just good old stamp and mail. When last time you used a stamp and an envelope? It's been a long time for me, but I can't do all of that technology stuff, but I do know how to get a stamp. So thank you so much for continuing to love us with your giving. So do exercise that right and be blessed by it. Hallelujah. We look forward to seeing those next Sunday. As you here in person, get your tithe and offering. And if you'll provide with Brother Craig, maybe he'll receive the offering for us today. And Brother Eddie, hallelujah. Get them the baskets and they're going to come. As I look back over my life,